to others. Satisfactory progress. Ed began to improve again towards the end of the semester. Good effort shown. Continued working well. Generally good work. I believe that Aaron could contribute far more to this class. Satisfactory achievement. Dallaire argues that Althusser fails to take into account the distinction between materiality and the symbolic. But where do we place interpolation on this mapping of the divide? Is it the voice of the symbolic? Is it the ritualized voice of the state? Or have the two become indissoluble? If, to use Dallaire's term, the symbolic acquires its existence only in ritual, then what establishes the ideality of the symbolic domain apart from the various modes of its appearance and iterability? Ritual takes place through repetition, and repetition implies the discontinuity of the material, the irreducibility of materiality to phenomenality. The interval by which any repetition takes place does not, strictly speaking, appear. It is the absence by which the phenomenal is articulated. But his non-appearance or absence is not for that reason an ideality, for it is bound to the articulation as its constitutive and absent necessity. Yet Dallaire's suggestion that love might be beyond interpolation is an important one. Althusser would have benefited from a better understanding of how the law becomes the object of passionate attachment, a strange scene of love. For the conscience, which compels the wayward pedestrian to turn around upon hearing the policeman's address, or urges the murderer into the streets in search of the police, appears to be driven by a love of the law, which can be satisfied only by ritual punishment. To the extent that Althusser gestures toward this analysis, he begins to explain how a subject is formed through the passionate pursuit of the reprimanding recognition of the state. That the subject turns round or rushes toward the law suggests that the subject lives in passionate expectation of the law. Such love is not beyond interpolation. Rather, it forms the passionate circle in which the subject becomes ensnared by its own state. Good attitude and behavior in this course. Pleased with participation and effort in class. Some very original and creative writing. An enthusiastic student who responds well in class. Good appreciation of literature. All required assignments not completed this term. A drastic change in attitude and effort is required if Aaron is to be successful in this course. Your improvement over last term is noted. Work hard to maintain this grade in mathematics. Good, consistent effort all term. Aaron is still attending physics classes, but he appears to be undergoing some personal crisis, which has affected his progress recently. I hope to see a much better third term grade. Failure is likely unless a dramatic change in attitude and effort occurs. This is a failing grade. Higher marks are required to ensure a minimum pass. Too little time and effort is being given to this science course. Homework is frequently not completed. Excellent effort. Keep up the good work. Employer is extremely pleased with the student's performance. Effort and achievement are first class. This student's keen interest is appreciated. This student's attitude and participation are appreciated. A conscientious, steady worker. That takes us through primary and secondary. So, just about there. Yes, the subjects work by themselves. The whole mystery of this effect lies in the first two moments of the quadruple system I've just discussed, or if you prefer, in the ambiguity of the term subject. In the ordinary use of the term, subject in fact means, one, a free subjectivity, a center of initiatives, author of and responsible for its actions. Two, a subjected being who submits to a higher authority and is therefore stripped of all freedom except that of freely accepting his submission. This last note gives us the meaning of this ambiguity, which is merely a reflection of the effect which produces it. The individual is interpolated as a free subject in order that he shall submit freely to the commandments of the subject, in order that he shall freely accept his subjection, in order that he shall make the gestures and actions of his subjection all by himself. That is why they work all by themselves. So be it. This phrase, which registers the effect to be obtained, proves that it is not naturally so. This phrase proves that it has to be so if things are to be what they must be. And let us let the word slip. If the reproduction of the relations of production is to be assured, even in the processes of production and circulation, every day, in the consciousness, in the attitudes of the individual subjects occupying the posts which the socio-technical division of labor assigns to them in production, exploitation, repression, scientific practice, etc. Indeed, what is really in question in this mechanism of the mirror recognition of the subject? Indeed, what is really in question in this mechanism of the mirror recognition of the subject to the subjects if they freely accept their subjection to the subject's commandments? The reality in question in this mechanism, the reality which is necessarily ignored in the very forms of recognition, is indeed, in the last resort, the reproduction of the relations of production and of the relations deriving from them. January to April 1969. P.S. It is only within the processes of production and circulation that this reproduction is realized. This is the final section, post-secondary. I think you got the point. I would spend a bit more time giving readers a sense of what's going on in the Orpheus films and how that transforms the classic story Cocteau is working with. I think the notion of mystery or the unexplained helps philosophy. Aaron, I haven't had a chance to listen to the tape yet, but I will. Don't worry. This portfolio, though quite small, is quite exciting. Good experiments that seem grounded in substance, not merely formalism. Although I would eventually like to see you attempt more conventional forms in the near future. This current work is strong. You made a strong contribution to the class as well. Clear comments, though a lot of preliminary pausing. I hope we see you next term. You need to keep on working. All best. A paradigm of absolute harmony, an art that would be capable of guiding man towards a revolutionary utopia. Although at the outset Mondrian used black, white, and gray, he soon abandoned the gray. The color reproduction is misleading here. 25 out of 30. Well done. You have made some important points, a thoughtful paper. This is a difficult paper to mark. It attempts, not without success, to be very clear about a complex and difficult issue in the philosophy of history, in the philosophy of the social sciences. At times, you do succeed in achieving an admirable level of clarity. What you do not manage to do is make this into a paper suitable for a course in the history of political thought. Even in a philosophy paper, examples of historicist argument would be very helpful in giving the various distinctions some flesh and blood. In this kind of course, they are really what the enterprise is about. Your throwaway remarks about Hegel and Marx are insufficient. I think this has the potential to be a first-rate paper, and I'd be sympathetic to you rewriting it if you wish. Dear Aaron, I loved reading your journal. I learn so much every time I read your journal. I especially noticed the physical properties of the journal. the scratchings, collages, etc., those properties do amplify the content. It makes your musings seem more connected and vivid. You might think about taking a creative writing class. That might be a nice forum to work on developing, framing, editing these notes. That is one avenue. Another avenue is to continue to try and translate the moments of insight and brilliance in these notes into a more traditional essay form. Fascinating. I enjoyed this because I think there is something to Vico's Virum Factum, and you have not convinced me otherwise. I'd like to argue it sometime. I think it applies to natural science, too. The problem with this paper is the awkward constructions that forced me to work so hard to figure out what you were trying to say. I found your arguments intellectually sophisticated and interesting, but I wish you had given me a little more. Say, by providing a more elaborate explanation of attitudes towards the youth culture. I believe in practice there are many in-between or more complex and shifting examples than the one you briefly discuss, e.g., some thinkers may explicitly or implicitly distinguish between appropriate or non-appropriate causes and or reasons for actions. Those who argue the students' motives were voluntary and narcissistic might nonetheless sometimes support varied approaches to social control. Your discussion of this complex issue is rather brief, but is on a very high level. Aaron, this is very interesting, insightful, creative. Where are you in relationship to a finished essay? I would be happy with page 1 as it is, plus 2 on page 2 worked out with examples. To develop all the ideas here is certainly more than a 5-page review of Roy Kiyoka, so it is up to you. Overall, I think you are gathering your thoughts. This is much more organized than the earlier notes. Still, try to bring the language down to a more simple level. I don't know if that sounds like suitable advice after our reading of Hegel. Aaron, this is an excellent attempt at grappling with these difficult issues. You have been very bold in tackling Siegel's position and have presented a very strong, well thought out, elegantly constructed argument. I'm not sure that the argument succeeds, as my comments in particular on pages 5 to 10 indicate, but I certainly found it challenging. It's a shame we couldn't get to talk through this paper before you left. If I return to SFU, there is a small chance. I would like to do that. As you were my only philosophy student on the course, I would certainly be interested in your evaluation of it. If you could return an evaluation form via the undergraduate office, I would be very grateful. Good to meet you, and good luck in your studies. Well written. You seem to have absorbed well a number of the morals we drew in class. Beautifully developed account. I eagerly await the shift from exegesis toward critical appraisal. This is a sensitive discussion and quite original. Good work, though it left me confused. Try to be more precise when making claims. This is a good exposition and an interesting piece, but I think the contractarian position needed to be fleshed out in greater detail, since you intended to contrast the two. I wasn't sure what exactly is wrong with contractarianism from your account, or what Rorty was committed to developing. The problem is that contractarians provide an analysis of value which explains why some values are cross-cultural, without appealing to cultural explanations or any problematic ontology. It's nice work overall. I don't think we have to bring in issues involving projectability of predicates, but I could be wrong. Nicely presented, clean, should have developed the point further, falls short. This is a very nice little essay, carefully circumscribed and wonderfully clear. You open up a number of avenues here, philosophical and exegetical, that it would be very interesting to pursue. Aaron, I had a hard time putting your paper in the demands and expectations for a coherent statement, a kind of summary of the course and your position. It is full of insights, but I'm not sure of either the critical stance or where it is going. You've mastered the form, but the writing is over-dense, leading to obscurity. Dear Aaron, a very good paper, though a tad on the terse side. Several points could have used elaboration. I am not sure, for example, about the line of criticism in section 2. At least this needs to be developed further to show convincingly that Ricoeur is committed to the view that the semiological analysis is performed prior to understanding, perhaps prior to complete understanding. But this makes some difference, does it not? I agree with your general assessment, though I am not really comfortable passing any judgment on Ricoeur's views. I don't know it very well. You present your case convincingly, and your grasp of Gadamer is very strong. This is rather short and inconclusive for a paper for an entire course. In many places, you simply refer to Nietzsche's discussion without citing or analyzing it. Nonetheless, the paper does give a sense that there was more thought behind it than is represented within it. It would be important now to place these questions in terms of Hawke, Hartfield, even Gross. Schwitter's abstractions clearly do face the political, cliché, the partisan, and satirical in the others. Does he push the limits of the medium? Very Schillerian. Thanks.